So we have three groups here. We got Jesus sitting around with this group of folks, and we got the family, and we got the scribes that came down from Jerusalem. Three different groups. The key group is the group of folks, the crowd sitting around him. Here are my brother and my mother and my sisters. Those who do the will of God are my brother and my mother and my sisters. More than before, this year I've noticed, finally, how Jesus is about calling people beyond, in that, especially at that era, the security of their family, which was absolute. The only people you could trust were in your family. That was it. You might live in a village, but you did not. You were always keeping an eye out for whom you can trust. And so, it was about land. It was about property. It was about the familial trust relationships. Not that they didn't have issues, but Jesus is forming a new family or a new kinship of those sinners who come to him and say, "Here I am." His call, repent and believe in the good news, was repent and believe what I heard. This is my beloved son. This is my beloved daughter in whom I am well pleased. That's the repentance. The new family or kin that Jesus is dealing with are those who hear his voice and enter into relationship with him beyond family ties. So I wanted to share a story with you. Last night, I was privileged to be asked to be at the dinner of the class of 1998 from McAllister College in St. Paul. I served there for 6 years in the 90s, and obviously it's their 20th reunion. It was a most amazing evening. In an opening kind of prayer, Max Known is one of the more secular and anti-religious schools, and believe me, it continues in that tradition, which made it very interesting. I said, "You know, what are you grateful for, and who are you grateful for, and whom can you affirm, and are you willing to share some sorrow from your life? Because at 42 years old, you probably know that. Can you share that so that you can be more real?" Little did I know that the speaker that night was one of the members of the class of 98, Emily. She got up and talked about being diagnosed with cancer at 23 years old. And she talked about the stupid things that people told her, like, there must be a reason for this, or God wants you to be blah, 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 and how she hated that, and how cancer isolated her because people didn't know what to say to her except platitudes. And so even friends drifted away. And she reflected on that for a couple of minutes and then talked about how another one of their classmates, Amy, who was a dear friend, had been diagnosed like 4 years later with cancer, very serious cancer, and died within 4 months. And she was able to be there for her and talked about that for a little bit. And the most amazing thing happened. What seemed to me to happen, and what I was able to engage in conversation with people about, was real stuff. Not the weather, not the Brewers, not the Twins, not anybody else like that, not the Vikings, not the Packers, but real stuff. What's going on in your life that is significant? One of my buddies there, I've known for, I don't know how many years, 20-some years, Tigger is his nickname. He has more tattoos than I've seen on most human beings. His mom was just diagnosed with cancer again Saturday morning. Talked about that. Another woman had just been divorced 2 months before. Another woman had just broken up with a guy she'd been with for a long time. And we talked about real stuff. And that formed a kinship that was different from the years before, which was, hey, let's go out and drink and talk loud so we can't hear the next day. That's the kind of kinship that Jesus was calling people to. And what we get to hear in the first reading is our heritage explained in the story of Adam and Eve, and they're eating the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And what did they learn about the knowledge of good and evil? Two things. Self-will. And the human insufficiency to control anything. That's why they said they were naked, and we were afraid. I propose that the issue in our country today is impotence. Not just the big trucks that we see on the road. It's not just Viagra, not just that stuff. But it's the impotence about doing anything politically one way or the other. It's the impotence of the United States being in a world that is dangerous and can't protect its citizens from anything. And that is terrifying. And we don't want to say we are naked and afraid. I don't anyway. And so, what's the default? It's not just anger, but people saying rage. You know, there's a piece on the news this morning about how many folks don't want to listen to the news anymore, like 63% or some dang thing. And what's the deal there? They call it news fatigue. It's the fatigue, I believe, of two things. One is in hearing about what's going on in the world and in our government and stuff, and not being able to do a dang thing about it. And then getting fired up by the pundits on the news programs to rage. And after a while, rage does not help us deal with our insignificance. It's a pretext. The kind of kinship that happened last night felt like it was beyond politics. It was beyond religion because it was true and real. Now, this will be the last time I get to preach here for about 6 months because I have a new assignment. And one of the things I get to do and have started is talking with the School Sisters of St. Francis over yonder on Layton Boulevard about reconciliation. And there were 30 of them last week who dealt with the question, are you willing to share something from your life that was difficult and how you got through it? Dang, that was beautiful. And sharing it that way, instead of talking about the dang Packers or the Brewers, opened up a sense of connection that I believe is the kind of kinship that Jesus is talking about with people who are wounded and do everything we can to not let others see that. You know what I'm talking about. Because it's too painful. And it seems to me more and more and more that the good news is that Jesus called them and calls us, I still believe, into the kind of kinship around Him. Now let me just say before I end, there's got to be multiple kinships, because ain't no way that we've got like 28,000 different Christian churches in this country. Not buildings, but different churches, and we don't agree with each other across the... We don't even agree with each other in Catholicism. We got this kind of church and that kind of church and this other, and we say, those people are going to hell. They're wrong. And they say that about you and me. Whatever. But the kinship, to find kinship around Jesus in this way, so that our illusions about Him might be melted away. That's the hope I have for Christianity. We may be at a time when we can be a little bit less tempted to domesticate God in our own image, to serve our wounded hearts and our ideological needs. And it's in coming together to say truth to one another from where we really live that we can find that kind of kinship in the church, I believe. So what we do at the Eucharist is give thanks to God, who through Christ in the Spirit has opened for us the path to salvation in this life as a way to the next. To create a kinship in the church so that when we walk out of the church, we create kinship with everybody we meet. So I'll give you about 6 months, hope to be back then, and I'll check in with you, okay? And just say, how's it going? I'll let you know how it's going for me over at the School Sisters. So may God bless us with less hiding in our lives.